Tra-la-de-de, hi-de-ho, hi-de-de, hi-de-ho. Tra-la-de-de, hi-de-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-de-de, hi-de-ho, hi-de-de, hi-de-ho. Tra-la-de-de, hi-de-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-de-de, hi-de-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-de-de, hi-de-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Spook Lore, Making Sense of Spooky Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler. Guys, we did it.
What?
It's a good thing that we took a break last week.
We did it.
Because now
whatever,
we can...
Whatever it is.
We can truly converge all of our spooky energies into this one episode.
Oh, we can kind of pour it all on for one final run.
For this big shebang for the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is episode 311, which is the spookiest number. It is the spookiest energy. It is the spookiest color.
More so than the devil.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that, but the Bible says it.
The Bible wasn't prepared for 311.
Says there's the number of the beast, but in the year 19-something, maybe, or 2000-something, I don't know. That stinks of the 2000s, but there will come an entity called 311. And that's the one to watch out for.
Gordy, you're going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia says 1988 to present.
88?
Same age as you and I, Gordy.
So my lifespan.
Yes.
Yeah. my human lifespan, which is very nearly 33 years, 311 has been operational.
I don't know this band, so I've done a poor job of my... almost 33 years on this earth.
Whoa. Have you ever heard the song Amber, parentheses, is the color of your energy?
You have for sure heard Griffin McElroy say the phrase.
Yes. Yep.
If nothing else.
I know them via Griffin. I don't think I have listened to the song. I have just listened to Griffin refer to the song, so that is the extent of my knowledge of this, the band that is as old as I am.
Well, if my plan goes accordingly, you are hearing... a shitty, like, MIDI karaoke version of it right now under us talking.
I sure hope so.
See, I get informed of your little additions via my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Who just updates me on the, hey, did you listen to the last episode
did you
of
notice?
Your own show? And I was like, nah, I haven't listened to an episode of my own show in like 4 years.
Did you notice the schemes?
Are you aware of the latest crime?
That
Tyler
one was specifically
committed?
Requested.
What was requested?
In the show. Gordy, last time you asked that if every time we replaced Bell with Beef, if I could put in some sort of notifying sound effect.
Oh.
So I chose a cow mooing.
Oh, good. I should check that one out. I forgot about that.
Well, so are we ready?
Yeah, now it's time to get spooky.
Yeah, you've gotten...
We've set the mood.
One more again, time to get spooky.
All right, well...
spooky is the color of our energy.
Today we're going to get spooky in Korea.
That can be a pretty spooky place.
They're good at that.
They do good horror films.
I don't know if you've all heard of Squid Game.
I watched the Squid Games.
I haven't, because it sounds too spooky five me.
I've seen the Squid Games... picture on Netflix, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, it already looks spooky. Just from that little screenshot thing.
So now we're going to read something that I have to assume helped inspire Squid Game.
Gordy will have to confirm that for
via
us.
Via the transitive property.
Mm-hmm.
Our resident Squid Games ambassador. That is Gordy's job on today's podcast. I assume you've also watched some Korean horror flicks, Gordy?
I have.
Okay. I know Eric has. I'm usually out of the room.
I feel like I have because Eric has.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of them by the product of living in this space and being unable to escape it. On my own personal horror movie.
Yeah, The Wailing. Pretty good one.
So we'll see if these spooky stories hold up to their reputation in the horror film
the modern day.
Netflix series. Realms. So this is Korean ghost. I'm doing a collection of a few Korean ghost stories from the book Korean Folk Tales, Imps, Ghosts, and Fairies by Im Bong and E. Ryuk, and translated by James S. Gale back in 1913. This was actually suggested and provided to us by Tyler's mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Tyler, Mom.
Thank you.
and sourced from Gutenberg.org. Solid resource place.
Absolutely.
So our first tale is an encounter with a hobgoblin.
Getting right into it. No warm-up.
So already a little spooky in the title, but also very straightforward.
Turn the corner and jump scare right away.
All right, so are you two ready to encounter a hobgoblin?
Yeah, just let me buckle my seat. Yeah.
Yeah. Once the narrator of this tale, starts with a frame story, got himself in some trouble and was locked up with a military man by the name of Choi Wanso, a captain of the guard who was involved in this narrator's crime escapades somehow. The crime and the involvement are never clarified, so...
Well, that's Tyler, disappointing.
As our crime weaver, I leave it to you to assign what has imprisoned these two men.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to listen to gauge their personalities a bit further.
Okay. So
based on the story he decides to tell.
So narrator and Choi often met in prison, and they would spend hours chatting.
What a fun thing to say.
Yeah.
Come here often to prison.
Well, they whiled away the time with just like gossip and stuff. As you do.
Back again already, huh?
And one day their gossip turned to goblins. It's basically a good descriptor of every sleepover.
That is my favorite Netflix show. Gossip Goblin.
Gossip Goblin?
Is it the same as the other one, just with some visual swaps?
Yeah, it is precisely the same, except one of them is David Bowie.
I wish that you could just insert David Bowie into, like, replace a character with David Bowie in any film or TV series. That's a good superpower to have. So when the gossip turned to goblins, Chua was like, hey, I met a hobgoblin when I was young, and it almost killed me. And we don't ever return to the frame story, so that's all you get about our narrator, is that he met this guy in prison and learned about his hobgoblin childhood.
The thing that put him in prison is fraud, definitely.
Okay, and this military man just helped him out with that.
Yeah.
All right, so when
MLM
Choi was...
schemes, mostly.
Yeah, okay, pyramid scheme. Cool, cool, cool. So when Choi was young, he had no home in Seoul, but he made an application for a vacant place in Belttown, and he got in. Yay!
It were that easy anymore.
What is Belttown?
A lot of these stories feature, like, specific, like, regions or, I don't know, neighborhoods of Seoul.
Province? Mm. Do they do provinces?
They have provinces, but I think provinces are larger than the towns.
Yeah, I know Seoul is made up of, like, some, like, discrete neighborhoods.
Yeah, so we get a lot of those with the, I guess, just English name translation for it. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good one.
Yeah, Belttown.
Yeah, it's evocative. Yeah.
Sounds industrial in a cool way.
And grimy.
A little grimy.
Yeah.
A touch of grime.
Just a touch. But it's the kind of grime that's like, you know, it's like leather oils sort of grime. Right?
Yeah. Yes,
as opposed
to
just like sewage grime.
Mm-hmm.
It's industrial grime.
Yeah, exactly.
So... they moved to this vacant house. The father and the rest of his family got the inner quarters, and he, who I presume is a young adult or some kind of cool teen at this point, got the front room. So one night he was half asleep when the door to his room opened and a woman came in and stood before the lamp. He recognized her. She was a lady from the home of a scholar friend he had. And he definitely had the hots for this girl, but he never really had a chance to talk to her, so he's pretty thrilled.
What is her relation to the place that he's familiar with her from?
She's just from that home. I don't know if she's, like, the sister of the scholar friend, or just hangs out there.
She's just a lady that lives there also?
Yeah.
Just a roomie?
There appears to be, again, from these stories, and I have not read through this entire book, but from these stories, there appears to be a lot of, like, communal living in general.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
because when people refer to themselves as moving into a place, then it's kind of as an afterthought that they also have this bevy of other folk there. It's like, I moved there, and then we did these things.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, yeah, he's like, hell yeah, hot chick in my room. And he greets her, but she does not reply. So he gets up to take her by the hand, because I guess if a hot chick just enters your room in the middle of the night...
Silently.
You can make moves, yeah. But she
begins to
walk
backwards.
If she's
not gonna, you might as well try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he couldn't grab her hand. So he rushed toward her, which... like,
spooky.
Escalate your flirting slower, maybe.
Is she gonna be some kind of, like, land anglerfish thing? Just coax this man out of his room so does a hobgoblin can eat him.
Does she have the glowing
She is the glowing. Yeah.
It's like the bear in Annihilation that screams in their friends' voices.
Oh, I forgot about that movie. That was a weird movie.
It is.
Oh, yeah. It's a better book.
The bear screaming in friends' voices was one of the actual legitimately well-done scary bits of it, though.
Agreed.
So he rushed toward her, because he's got no game, apparently.
Yeah.
And she moved backwards faster until they were presumably outside, because mm-hmm. they reached the gate, and she opened it with a rear kick, which is, like, smooth move.
It's like a roundhouse.
Potentially demon lady. Just like that backwards kick as you're walking.
Like a horse.
Yeah, you know, like when you need to, like, close a door behind you.
Like a horse.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he kept following her until she suddenly
And I disappeared. Assume that she kept pace the whole time, too, which just adds to the unease of the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a super, super calm, silent, backwards walk, backwards kick through the gate, everything smooth motion. So he kept following.
I do feel like he is being reeled in right now on a fishing line or something.
At some point, when a woman that you don't really know, but
who has said word zero to you,
yeah, shows up in your bedroom at night and then walks backwards out of it, you just like, you let her go. You're like, all right, cool. Hopefully I see you around when I'm over for study buddy times.
Enjoy your evening power walk, I guess.
So he kept following her till she disappeared, and he looked around and couldn't find her and just sort of assumed she'd hidden herself, like you do.
Yeah, this is flirting.
Yeah, this is how people start relationships, right?
Could be.
Before the OkCupid times. You just showed up in someone's house and then walked backwards and played hide and seek.
This is how you know that a woman is interested in you, is when she silently enters your room, unsettlingly walks backwards for like a mile, and then coyly disappears.
Yeah, if one hasn't done this to you, like, even if you are dating them or married to them or have been involved for years, it's not real. It's not real till this happens.
It's the myth times equivalent of swiping right.
So I guess this Tinder performance occurred in the exact same way the next night. And he was still figuring it was just the weirdest game of hide and seek ever, and the thought
okay,
that Hobgoblin
come on, guy.
Was about
fool me once.
This is why I think he's maybe a cool teen, because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Sorry to any cool teen listeners, but
when you're 25,
you'll look back and you'll realize it's fine. It's just part of life. We all were. We've all been there. So a few days later, he was in his bed when he heard the disturbing sound of crackling paper from above his ceiling. And then a moment later, the curtain in his room that could divide it into two was let down. So just flump, now it's two rooms. Then a large fire of coals descended right in front of him, filling the room with an immense heat and surrounding him with flames.
It's looking bad.
Yep. He had no idea what to do. There was fire in every direction. And the story doesn't tell us what he did do, so I'm guessing he just sat in bed and stared at it until the first cock crow of morning, because that's the next action beat we get. And when the rooster crows, the noise ceases, the curtain goes back up, and the fire disappears, and the room is as clean as if it had been recently swept.
You know, I'm going to be honest, I'd probably do the same.
Just stay in bed and just watch it. Like, well, I'm not dead yet, and I can't go anywhere. So.
Especially if it appears to not be progressing.
Yeah, just pull out a book and read by the fire.
I guess I'm awake now.
Look, as freaky as a ghost fire would be, and it would for sure be creepy, if it leaves the room, like, spotlessly cleaned, and you don't have to do the sweeping or vacuuming in there the next morning, I might take a sleepless night. That's not a bad bonus feature.
Sure.
For a haunting. Like, if you're gonna get haunted, it might as well clean the house.
Thank you.
Helpful. It's like the beginning of Poltergeist. Kind of.
And they're stacking chairs. That's just a different organization technique.
That's just chores.
Yeah.
That ghost was recently closing restaurants before they passed. It's what they know to do, stack the chairs.
It's just ghostly muscle memory.
So the next night, he was alone, and he hadn't gotten ready for bed yet, when a great stout man suddenly appeared in his doorway, dressed in a soldier's hat and a blue tunic, kind of like the underling of a government official's. The man took a hold of him and tried to drag him out, but young Chua was vigorous and strong and youthful, and he had no intention of yielding, so there was a bit of a tussle. But, unfortunately, he's still, I guess, a skinny teen boy, and is unable to hold his own against a stout, probably supernatural soldierman. So he gets dragged out to the court, and the stout man lifts him up and swings him around and around, then goes up to the highest terrace and throws him down, which stuns him.
Yeah, yeah. That's a finisher. That's what we call that in the business.
Yeah, there are. I can see where Street Fighter maybe picked up some moves from this. So then he stood in front of him, keeping him a prisoner on the ground there, I suppose. There happened to be a garden in the rear of the house that had a wall around it, and within the wall there were a dozen or so people who were also dressed in military hats and coats, and they were shouting, "Don't hurt him! Don't hurt him!
Hammer! Don't hurt him!"
And the stout man turned back to them and he said, "It's none of your business! None of your business!" And the two sides repeated these phrases at each other like a Bohemian Rhapsody verse. Then the stout man, ignoring the protests of the dozen or so wall people, took Chua by the hands and flung him into the air. I envision this like the games that you play with small children.
Yeah.
But this does send him halfway and more to heaven, and in his fall, he goes shooting past some of the other provinces and then ends up in Chulla. And I don't really have frame of reference for how far that is, but I assume not nearby.
I'm having a hard time envisioning this trajectory. Like, it sounds like he went straight up, but didn't come straight down.
Right. The way I imagined it was, you know, the speaking of Griffin McElroy, patron saint of this episode, I suppose. in the final Pam video, sure, where he like upped that jump height quite a bit.
Yeah.
And ended up just like tossing him into a new region.
Yes.
That's what I'm envisioning has just happened. It's just a game glitch. He's ended up in Chulla.
I see.
So when he landed in Chulla, the fellow was there also and tossed him up again. And this time he landed back at home, stupefied beneath the terrace again. So the voices in the garden are still shouting the don't hurt him phrase.
Mm-hmm. And he just says, "Too late."
Right.
I did it.
And the stout fellow is repeating his none of your business bit, and this weird game of like catch with himself continues a few times. He's just tossed back and forth between his house and Chulla repeatedly. After a couple of times, one of the garden people takes the tormentor by the hand and leads him away. It's like, shh, that's enough.
Enough.
And there they all met to talk and laugh over the matter, and then they scattered, never to be seen again.
You've had your fun.
You did it, buddy. This man's seen Chulla so many times. So
yeah, but he's seen it in the way that I have seen Chicago, which is like the airport.
Sure.
So Chua just lay motionless like Loki after the Hulk encounter until morning, when his father found him and had him cared for until he came to, and the family was like, "Fuck this ghost town," and they left. And that's it. We don't return to the frame story or anything. So Troy apparently went from this to become a military man and then also a criminal.
Turned to a life of crime.
Yes.
And you know what? Rightly so. Fuck this.
This is an early indicator of an adulthood crime spree, as if you are hobgoblined T'Challa repeatedly.
Yeah, that's the kind of night that makes you wake up in the morning and say, fuck this planet.
I'm going to crime the shit out of it.
I'm going to start NFTs.
Can anybody just make one of those?
Apparently.
Like, if I just decide I'm making an NFT of, I don't know, this thing I doodled, I can just do that. No one has to say it's okay or give you permission.
I mean, I recently heard of some authors that were trying to get in on it, too.
Which authors?
With the written word.
Which ones? Because I might stop reading their books.
I'll have to find you a list.
Okay. It feels like a teacher or an adult should say that it's okay to do it first.
Well, I have bad news for you, Gordy, specifically, because I have recently found out that one of my college professors is getting into it.
Uh-oh. What is he making, or she or they, or whoever making NFTs of?
Animated GIFs.
Okay.
I just don't understand. Like, conceptually, it's beyond my understanding.
It is. It's a star registry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't... You're paying money for the idea of owning something, and that's stupid. That being said, if anyone would like to pay money for the idea of owning one of my JPEGs, I do have several that I often forget to share. So in that way, it might be more valuable than the traditional NFT. Because there's a good chance I will never share that image on social media, because I draw a lot more than I actually post.
The author scheme one sounded especially devious, because what they were planning to do was sell basically the rights to write fan fiction in their settings, and then they would be able to deem from there which ones they thought were canonical.
Okay.
So they're outsourcing the series writing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and you get to pay them to do it.
So at first that sounded a little bit like, so there's a big thing in the furry community with like adopts, which I also haven't really understood.
Did you say the prairie community?
No, the furry community.
Oh, okay. I guess
some of them may live in the
prairie. I guess there's some
overlap. Might be some crossover.
I it's another thing where I have a little bit of trouble conceptualizing why it's a thing, but you adopt basically someone's design, and then they're like closed species adopts, which means that only the artist can draw the species, and open species adopts, which means you can make your own version of it. And that sounded like what the writers were doing there. But really, you can't stop anyone from writing fanfiction.
Right, literally that just makes me Crime Weaver harder. Like, try and stop me.
Yeah, like, I don't like to write fanfiction, and I'm not a fan of your work, but I'm going to write a fanfic.
I'm about to.
AU romance just to spite you.
Guess what, asshole? I'm the new main character now.
AO3, eat my heart out.
I'm inserting myself.
Yeah, a self-insert crossover AU gender-bent romance of your story that I'm not a fan of just to throw you a big middle finger.
And in it, I defeat you in hand-to-hand combat.
And it will be 300 chapters.
That is a hallmark of everything that I write, is I defeat the author in hand-to-hand combat. That's my calling card, if you will.
The Gordy special style. It's your M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Like how he kept casting himself in his own movies.
All right, so spooky factor of that last one.
That one was pretty good. It got like progressively sillier towards the end.
Yeah. I feel like
telling me that happened over and over and over with no consequences to it did diminish the spooky factor.
Yeah, tension does go away when the same thing occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing changes.
But the weird anglerfish lady, definitely spooky.
That is for sure spooky. Undeniably.
I have a very strong visual of when you explained the kicking the gate while still walking backwards, and even envisioning like a unsettlingly robotic turn out of the gate also, as if she's just being played in reverse.
Yeah, I think I think to make it spookier, I would like a very clear connection between that lady and the ghostly consequences.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like his house is, I don't know, a watering hole for ghosts. It's just like a bus stop for spooks.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Is that bad?
Kind of Ghibli-esque in that way.
I was going to say, it is the train and Spirited Away.
Yeah, it's not bad. It just doesn't spook me necessarily.
Sure.
Whereas like someone borrowing from his spank bank the face of a lady that he's been too afraid to talk to or unable to
entice
meet.
Him into danger.
Right. I would like to see what danger she's enticing him into, because it just seems like kind of a broken sleep and chilly feet sort of situation up until someone tosses him to Chola. And those seem unrelated. And also, I don't know why. Why? Yeah. Why any? But I do like the spooky lady thing. I think that could be definitely lifted and borrowed for a
something more effective.
Tale. Yeah. So our next one is just kind of a haunted houses tale.
Love those.
Largely focused on a man in Seoul named Lee Chung, who was poor and homeless, and he often lived in loner rooms of his friends, and when those weren't available, he'd go live in haunted houses, because
ain't nobody else going in there.
Yeah. So once, after no one would let him couch surf, he found a haunted house in Inktown that was vacant, and he was like, yeah, buddy, let's check it out. And per the usual status of your life when you're poor and homeless and squatting in ghost houses, to find out whether it was haunted or not, he called on his elder brothers and like five or six of his relatives and had them help him clean it up and sleep there. Which at that point, like, just let him sleep on your couch.
Yeah, that's a lot of labor.
Right.
Like, to just, which is seems to be avoidable.
If you're not willing to let this guy sleep on your couch, but you are willing to go to a house he doesn't own and deep clean it for
just
him.
Just do a quick fixer-upper with him.
Yeah, it seems an odd exchange of goods and services there.
Maybe he's just that annoying, though.
It is worth it to
I am willing to HGTV this house with you. If you just leave me alone for a couple weeks. Just build that buffer up.
So this house had an upper room that was locked and they couldn't get into, but they could see through a chink in the wall that there was a harp without strings, some kind of chair thing, a pair of wooden shoes, some sticks and bits of wood, and a lot of dust.
Love that chair thing.
That night they drank some wine and they played some games so they could stay up. Like you do when you're ghost hunting.
Sure.
This would be a fun HGTV show, right? Like, go fixer up a haunted house and then see if you have angered any spirits.
I'm honestly surprised no one's done it. And maybe somebody has, and I just am not familiar.
Well, there was that one show that Jenny Nicholson talked
about. Yeah, there is that one. That's not quite what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, not... I'd say not quite, but not that far off.
Still pretty good.
I did watch a few episodes of it.
I did too. I know what I'm doing after this. So they stayed up to test the hauntedness of the house, and toward midnight, the sound of harps and a lot of voices, like a group gathered at a feast, started filtering through. So they considered what to do about this, and they came to the logical conclusion of drawing a sword and striking a hole through the partition that looked into that locked tower room.
Sure.
And as soon as they did that, from the other side of the wall, a sharp blade thrust out toward them, blue in color.
Ghost sword.
So they decided this was a good sign they shouldn't mess with things, so they just lay there at that night listening to the harp party until morning, when it dispersed. And then
we'll just be
it.
Over here, minding our own business.
Yeah, you guys do your party. And then they left at daylight and never again dared to enter.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, if you're going to have a ghost situation, like if you're going to squat in a haunted house, you don't want one that's basically having live-in versions of our terrible apartment neighbors. So in South Ward, there was another haunted house that this fellow wanted, so he had the group redo the experiment there. And they're more than willing just to not deal with this guy.
Yes, please, shut up.
So on entering this house, they found two dogs, one black and one tan, lying on the open veranda with fiery red eyes.
How many things do they know?
Probably a fair number of things, potentially all. The red eyes do seem to maybe hint at a knowledge uncanny. So they didn't move when they were shouted at, nor did they bark or bite at anybody. They're just sleepy good boys.
Seem like pretty knowledgeable dogs.
Yeah, they're well behaved. They know that they don't owe anyone anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at midnight, the dogs went down into the court and began baying ominously into the sky.
Oh, cool. Love it. Please, more.
Someone came from around the corner of the house dressed in ceremonial robes, and the puppers met him with great delight, jumping all around with joy at his coming. So they're just very good boys.
Love me these Scooby-Dooby crooners.
So he sat down on the veranda, and then five or six multi-hued demons appeared and bowed before him.
Yes!
The man led the demons and dogs a few times around the house. On tour.
Just for what?
Just like a walking for tour.
The demon realtor?
Yes. Take a look at this open floor plan. Floor to ceiling windows in the main living room facing south. You'll get lots of light.
Do the dogs get commission?
Hope so.
For finding these locations for him?
So after the tour of the house, they went up into the veranda and they jumped down into the courtyard backwards and forward,
yeah,
between these two places, and then they all just mysteriously disappeared. Just did this until they poofed. The devils went into a hole underneath the floor. The dogs went back to their spots on the veranda where they'd been found when these people came in the first place, and the man just poof vanished.
Man, devils know how to do it.
There's a lot of hopping and jumping with it's devils. They're just like going back and forth between
places.
Yeah, it's places.
Just a cool open house for devils. They just parkour their way home.
So after witnessing this, the group examined the place in the daylight, and they looked through the chinks in the floor, but they only saw a worn-out sieve and some discarded brooms down there. So then they went behind the house where the man had come from, and they found another old broom poked into the chimney. So they had a servant gather them to have them burned. This is what I mean by, like, one guy is talked about, like, this homeless guy, and then it just turns out that there are a lot of other people attached to him, but they don't count.
Including servants.
Yeah, like, you can be homeless and have a servant still, apparently.
Or know somebody who does.
Yeah, so a servant gathered the brooms and burned them, and they considered killing the dogs, but the dogs were too scary, so they didn't do that.
Yeah, don't go near those dogs.
Wait,
I'll kill you.
They considered what?
Killing the dogs.
Why?
To stop the ghostly rendition of
no.
Love It or List It.
Well, no.
Yes, no. You won't.
You will.
Try
you,
it.
You will not. Leave those dogs alone.
So that night they stayed to see if their broom burning scheme worked, if they had solved the puzzle that ghosts are brought about by abandoned brooms.
Well, did they hear the jingle or no? Because if it doesn't go like do-do-do-do after you burn the brooms, you didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't get the jingle because everything happened the exact same as before. So yeah, these were just brooms, guys. you didn't fix ghosts. Because brooms are not known to be ghost callers.
They were just misplaced. It wasn't a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. that might be a fun thing to like incorporate into a video game design, though.
Uh-huh.
It's like, solve the ghost puzzle, and then there's like stuff that's odd and misplaced, and so you just try and fix that or burn it, and it's just because someone left it there.
Just says it was brooms.
And then gives you the failure screen.
It's like the
you
whole
lose. It
the whole
was
you,
brooms.
Yeah, you died, Dark Souls screen comes up, the screen blackens, and it just says it was brooms. Idiot.
Why do you think that would work? So after the broom failure screen loads, they left the next morning in fear and disgust, and they never picked up that game again, which would probably also happen in the game that we just designed.
Seeing a steep drop off in game testers when they get to the broom room.
They do not like the broom failure screen and do not are uninterested in playing again.
A lot of our feedback just says, I feel quite insulted.
I wish you hadn't called me an idiot. Now I have to go back to my therapist. Thank you. So that's
and
the
good luck
of...
if you're the therapist of that person trying to unpack why they're upset that a broom called them an idiot.
Yeah,
sorry.
A tough,
walk me through this again.
A tough assignment.
So there are ghosts and demons and real estate, and you were trying to.
They did do parkour. Is that important?
Yeah.
How did you feel about the parkour?
Were you upset that the ghosts were, like, looking at the house and afraid that they were going to make an offer before you could? Because I know you wanted that house. Is this a jealousy thing? Where did the brooms come in?
What was your mother's relationship to brooms?
Do you have difficulty sweeping? Does that cause you distress?
How many spoons do you devote to brooms?
Have you considered picking up a broom while couch surfing as a thank you for your hosts? Perhaps this is the guilt of your using ways that has led you to burning brooms and haunted houses.
Yeah, it is time to reclaim the broom in your life.
Don't burn the broom. Sweep the broom. So that's the end of the homeless fellow's adventures with these, but just in case you were worried that it's only him who's had spooky experiences at these two places, at that first house...
Mm-hmm.
The one with
there's
the
different
tower.
Spooky things happening.
Yeah, there was another graduate who was down on his luck, and he went back to that first haunted house in Inktown, because haunted houses are just, I guess, free boarding houses.
Yeah, if you can if you can survive, it's yours.
Yeah. And they opened the door to the tower room, broke out the window, took out the old harp and shoes and sticks and stuff, and had them burned. Because, again, graduate down on his luck. He's not doing this alone, though. And there is a servant, because before the fire had finished its work in burning the things that they pulled out of this room, one of the servants fell down and died. So you could be a graduate student down on your luck in Korean myth times and still fucking have a servant to do your haunted burnings for you.
That is dire. For the servants, to be clear.
Yeah, and you just, like, die occasionally for burning the wrong things. So I don't know if he doesn't have a servant anymore, or if that was just one of his down-on-his-luck servant collections. But he put out the fire quickly and restored the things to the room and left the house. Another homeless man tried to stay in that house, and a woman in a blue skirt came down from the loft and acted in a peculiar and uncanny way.
Is it Hatsune Miku?
Unspecified.
I'm going to assume that it's Hatsune Miku.
So he left.
Yeah, I would too. I'm not interested in Vocaloids. Especially myth time Vocaloids.
The spookiest Vocaloids there are.
Back before they were VR and they were just mm-hmm. real spirits.
And in
Back
South
before
Kettle,
we trapped them in computers.
In South Kettle Town. I don't know if this is related to the rest of this, if this is a different name for South Ward for that house with the real estate agent. But a woodsman was passing behind the haunted house in this place, and they found an old woman weeping under a tree. And as you would naturally assume when you see an elderly lady crying her heart out in the woods, they think she's an evil bogey, and a man gives her a thrust with a sickle from behind.
Oh?
That's how you greet the elderly, right?
Oh.
The witch rushed off into the house, and her height appeared to be only one cubit and a span.
Good to know.
She's just a small witch, sobbing in the woods, running away from a man poking her with a sickle. Or she's just a tiny old woman having a bad day.
Having a really bad day now.
It just became a worse day.
No kidding.
But that's the end of the haunted house report.
Okay.
Where?
That's it. That's all the haunted houses you get. We have one more.
Oh. I would have omitted that last one. That one does just sound like somebody suffering.
Yeah, that's just being cruel to the elderly. That's not spooks at all. You're just being mean to a crying lady. And if it is a ghost and it's crying, or an evil bogey or whatever, it's crying under a tree.
Yeah.
What? Like, it's having a bad day. What are you doing?
I don't pretend to know ghosts or the hearts of ghosts. I assume they don't cry for fun. Maybe they do. Maybe some do. But I imagine that crying is crying.
Do they cry for tricks?
Yeah, and maybe it's a tricks. And what you do if you suspect that she's an evil bogey and it's a tricks cry is you just don't engage.
Yeah, you give that a wide berth.
Cannot recommend that general strategy enough.
With anybody at any time for
any reason. When suspecting tricks.
Yeah, it does not have to just be ghosts. You cannot engage with anybody.
They don't have to be crying.
Or
they don't have to be old. You just don't have to deal with people.
Yeah, or any topic.
Our last story is entitled Awful Little Goblin.
Cool. I like this Awful Little Goblin.
It's not dissimilar from the first one.
No. There's a lot of goblin talk throughout this book.
Goblin is the color of our energy this week.
That is true. Goblin's the color of my energy all the weeks. 2020 really ruined the last vestiges of humanity that I was clinging to. In 2021, I've just embraced full hobgoblinry. So I relate to these stories on a deeply personal level.
Yeah, the motto of 2021 has really been, why bother?
What's the point of all of this bullshit anyway? Alright, so once there was a big old party in the house of a nobleman. Lots of people there. Good old time. Fancy rich people parties. And apparently it was one of those parties where, like, people come and they stay. Because there's a women's quarters set up for the lady guests.
So they planned a party for a while.
Yeah, this is a real rager. And suddenly in front of the women's quarters appeared an uncombed, ugly-looking boy about 15 years old. So though he had kind of appeared out of nowhere, the host and the guests thought that he was maybe just a servant or a laborer who'd come in on the train of some actually invited visitor. And they didn't really raise a question, because, you know, as we've learned from these other stories, even when you're homeless, you have, like, a trail of people following you around to do your bidding, so...
So you're saying their first instinct wasn't to poke him with a sickle?
No. Well, he wasn't crying or old, he's just ugly. But one of the women guests saw him in
so he's on thin ice.
Yeah. We're not going to question you too hard, but if you start crying, sickle.
If you open your mouth and I don't like the sound I hear, sickle's coming out.
Well, one of the women guests did not like the appearance of a 15-year-old uncombed ugly boy in the women's quarters. Like, what are you doing here, boyo? You peeping? Mm-hmm. Creeper. So she sent a servant to reprimand and put him out. The boy didn't move, and the servant asked him, well, who the hell are you, and who the hell did you come in with that you think you can hang out in the lady rooms and also not listen when you're told to leave, asshole? The boy stood stock still with no word, no response at all, just standing there staring.
Is he about to start walking backwards?
Well, the company now starts to question his presence, because if there's one thing you know about servants is that if you tell them to go burn some brooms, they're going to do it. And if you tell them to burn some harps, they're going to do it and die for you. And there's no like, no backsass expected, even if you're homeless. And these guys are rich, so someone not doing what they're telling them to do, super suspicious.
Is the lack of audible sound considered backsass nowadays?
Yes. If you don't answer when you are asked a direct question, that can be kind of sassy.
Do you live in troubling times these days?
What was that phrase?
Troubling times when savagery reigns?
Yes. That is.
Savagery still reigns?
Yes. Troubled times when savagery still reigns. We need that on a shirt. So the company now starts to question his presence, and they have a servant make inquiry, because they're not going to question them himself. You got servants for that.
Sure, yeah.
So he still makes no reply. So the women at this point are very angry and order him to be taken out. And several of them took hold of him and tried to pull him, but he was like a fixed rock, immovable. So in a helpless rage, they informed the menfolk.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are they angry at a statue right now?
That's just appeared. Yes. I think he's a flesh boy, but he does appear to have the approximate demeanor and rigidity of a statue.
Is that why they think he's so ugly? It's because he's made of wood.
Your skin is gross.
Why do you look like stone?
You're an unnatural color, and there's odd grain running through you. Your clothes are the same color as your face. That's weird. So the men sent several strong servants, but the servants also could not budge him or get any answers out of him. So the whole party is now enraged, and they send 10 strong men with ropes to bind him.
This one statue's become a real bummer for the whole party.
They got real drunk. And
yeah, I am envisioning that these people got, like, week-long drunk and are just mad at a statue now.
I hope that's the case.
So the 10 strong men bind him with ropes, but he does not move a hair, and they can't, like, topple him or anything, and they're like, well, shit. He's human, right? Like, this is weird.
Is he?
So the next escalation of the problem solving here is to send 5 or 6 giant fellows with clubs to smash him to pieces. If ropes don't move him, you turn him into powder. So these men did not hold back, because how often do you get royalty or noble sanctioned license to just smash a boy?
Smash a boy apart with a hammer?
It's a good stress reliever.
Never in my life.
Yeah, I've never had invitation to smash a boy to pieces. I don't know that I would take that invitation, but I am not a giant fellow from myth times and savagery still reigns, so. They don't hold back, and the sound of their pounding is like rumbling thunder. And it seems like this boy is, for certain, due to be reduced to powder. But just as before, there is no movement and no response, and no crushing, and no powdering of the boy.
No powdering of the boy.
Boy is unpowdered. Full boy, no powder.
Hmm.
So now the crowd begins to fear. You can be mad about ropes not working. Yes.
Yeah.
You can be mad about ropes. But if a powdering unpowders, it's time for fear. So they begin to think, oh, this is no man, this is a god. So they all entered the courtyard and began to bow before him, supplicating earnestly for a long time.
It has to be a statue, right?
pretty good statue, though, if a good old smashing didn't...
If some strong giants couldn't shatter it.
Yeah, didn't do nothing.
Well, at last, after the crowd supplicates for quite some time... The boy gave a sarcastic smile, turned around, went out the gate, and disappeared. The company's now afraid again, because there's nothing more chilling than a boy who's just withstood a 6 giant club attack, giving a sarcastic smile after you've supplicated yourself.
How did they know it was sarcastic?
You know a sarcastic smile, Tyler. I bet you can envision in your head... This smile. It's the smile that's on every
did he do a DreamWorks
anime
face?
Anime boy.
A DreamWorks face?
Yeah, see the DreamWorks
face. Did he pop an eyebrow at him?
Are they known for that?
Hit him with the Megamind?
Yes, the one eyebrow up, the grin that doesn't meet the eyes. And a slow backwards walk, then turn around and disappear. So the company's afraid now and call off the feast. Like, we're not celebrating anymore. Holy shit. Total bummer. And then from that day forth, the host and the guests took extremely ill. The people who scolded the boy, tied him with ropes, or pounded him, died within a few days. And then other members of the party contracted typhus and the like, and they also died. The end. And there was a little note at the end of this, like, yeah, sometimes ghosts show up and you really shouldn't antagonize them. So if the party had just ignored him or treated him politely, they probably wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
I mean, a good lesson to not antagonize strangers. Maybe just people in general.
They were having a good time and he wasn't doing anything. Literally. Like, he was in a place they didn't want him to be, sure.
Could they have just picked him up and moved him?
Evidently not, because they did try that with ropes.
Oh, that's right.
You probably shouldn't ever at any point escalate to giant pounding, and probably also don't supplicate yourself.
Yeah, at the point that ropes don't work, just move on.
Yeah, keep an eye on this in case he is, like, a murder boy.
Yeah, post a guard, maybe, but enjoy your party, I guess.
Yeah, just move it to a different part of your giant noble house.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a fairly effective spookum story, given our folklore options in general.
Yeah, gotta say, I am in favor of Korean goblins, apparently.
Yeah,
they have style.
That's one that could adapt to a movie.
Oh, yeah. I just think the...
Wouldn't even have to be, like, a full movie. It could just be, like, a short film.
Mm-hmm. It's like a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little sarcastic smile was when the story, like, really won me over. Because it's not too much. It's not over the top. Like,
yeah, you do love DreamWorks face. I know that about you.
It's true. But, like, the first one, I think that... And that's a common failing with a lot of horror, is that it goes way over the top in the end bit. Where it's just, like, beating you down with scary thing or jump scare or violence and chases. So the first one being, like, throwing the guy to Chola, throwing the guy back to his house. Other ghosts are here chanting, throwing the guy to Chola again. Like, that loses it, where the creepy lady walking backwards and kicking the gate open with a rear kick without turning around. That's spooky. That's a good spook right there. This one... Just the like little sarcastic smile of triumph in the I did it, I got you guys to worship me, which is a thing you absolutely should not have done. I'm out. Mission achieved. Like that's an effective spook. That's chilling. I'm just sick of horror chase scenes and apparently goblins throwing people.
I mean, that gets dull quick. We got bored of that mid. The only story we've ever heard of it happening in. Like, it didn't even last the one story before it was tiresome.
So I think this is maybe my favorite spook story we've read, at least in a long time.
I agree.
So thank you to Tyler's mom.
Good choice.
Our way. Yeah. And so thank you all for listening to these spooky tales. Let us know your own takes on the various goblin and ghostery that you just heard.
And hopefully you had an enjoyable spooky season this year.
Indeed. With as many of the 10-foot tall skeletons as you could cram into your living space. And a lot of good candies, and your favorite way of celebrating, whether it's with horror films or repeated watchings of Buddies and Bette Midler. Yep. We hope that you stay safe and well this Halloween. And thank you all for listening. Thank you to Tyler's mom for suggesting this story.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show, keeping us going, sharing interesting tidbits of life and news and things that they've made. Always cheers me up to check Pocket Family and see what's going on. And thank you, of course, for our top tier patrons: Maxwell, Biblio Princess, Trickery Treats, Hierius, Midori, Baby Grandma, Becca, A Friendly Lobster, Kelly, Is Tinkerbell a Reference to Absence, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spaghetto, Drinking Deep at the Trial of Gender Fluids, Caitlin, Danielle, Wyatt, Soapy Faye, Olwyn, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, Mac the Maniculum Podcast, Jucifer, Cobus Cat, It's Vespa, Versus, Keeper of Too Many OCs, Pyrus, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Banjo Bug, Dave dressing up as, you know, the mayor from Nightmare Before Christmas, his O-face, Maya, Gray, Goetic Prince of the Arcane, Hylistus of Wimbus, Yahweh Yahweh, Little Smorgasbord, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Lily's really sorry she forgot about her existential crisis for 2 months, Izzy, Heather, Hi Meow Lady of the Cult of Cricket, and Jenna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Spooky Doug.
Thanks, Spooky Doug.
Thanks, Spooky Doug.
And hopefully see you next year, Spooktralizer.
See you.
For Dear Evan Hansen 2.
See you on the next one. I'm sure he'll be on Broadway by then.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.